Hi everyone, welcome to Stutter Talk. You're here with the B team, and I'm Roisin, one of the regular co-hosts, and I'm here with another host, Joel Cordy. Hey Joel.
Hey Roisin.
And we are, this morning it's just the two of us, because Karen is occupied. But usually Karen Herring joins us.
Mm-hmm. And I have to say, it's a little bit sad because it's episode 501, which is pretty crazy. That's a lot of episodes.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's hard to align three schedules.
Yeah, it is. And she'll be back soon.
Oh, yes, of course.
In our lives and our airwaves.
Mm-hmm.
So today we were thinking of talking about how stuttering therapy is both understood and portrayed in popular culture or in the media or by an average American on the street. And there is an article that was published in Sports Illustrated this past month about Michael Kidd Gilchrist.
Yep.
Did I pronounce that right?
Okay. I think that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. He's a player in the NBA on the Hornets. And he seems, I mean, the article talks about, he also is a person who stutters. And the article talks about his the commitment and journey that he's gone through to improve these two sort of flaws that have bogged him down. One being his jump shot,
yep,
jump shot, and the other one being his stuttering. And I mean, overall, I'm not sure the vibe you got from the article, but overall, I got the vibe that he's a really, like, humble, hardworking, down-to-earth dude. That was kind of the...
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, one of the reasons that I want to talk about this topic specifically is that I'm a pretty big sports fan, and... I know that, and I played a lot of sports growing up, and I played sports in college, and you know, a really sort of typical thing that a lot of kids who stutter and they play sports that they think about is, you know, that they want to play that sport professionally. But, you know, in this day and age, if you're a professional athlete, you have to speak all of the time, especially if you're one that, you know, is really prominent and successful. Well, I shouldn't say that you have to speak. You know, there are some creative athletes that find ways around it, like that
right.
Running back on the Seahawks, Marshawn Lynch. You could just do that, I guess. But for the majority of people, that is something that happens a lot. So I personally am just waiting until there's an athlete who stutters, who's really prominent and is like more of the mindset of stuttering openly, you know? And I just think that is so rare because, you know, anytime you hear about athletes who stutter, you don't really see them stuttering because, I mean, they kind of like most people who stutter, they don't want to stutter and they certainly do not want to, you know, have their stuttering out in the open and sort of on display, I guess. But I'm just kind of rambling here because really what I'm trying to underscore here is that I personally am very interested in stuttering athletes. And so I saw this, I've known for a while that Michael Gilchrist stutters, and I love this guy. Like I watched him play when he was at Kentucky, and have been following his NPA career. So I saw this headline, and this is not the Sports Illustrated article that I'm about to reference right now, but there's a article on
Joel, I'm going to stop you briefly.
Okay.
I think before we jump to that article, we should just kind of give like a short synopsis of like the vibe of the SI article.
Okay.
Just to kind of, say like where this all started.
Sure, sure. Okay. So let's think. How do I transition from that rant I just went on?
Well, I mean, this can totally be part of the show. We're all human.
Oh, you're right. Okay. I was going to edit all this out.
Talk about that article.
Let's just not, though, because whatever.
Yeah, it's not.
All right. So, okay, the vibe of the article. So I've been rambling here for a while. Why don't you let me know? Why don't you let me know what you think the vibe was of the Sports Illustrated article?
Right. So I think that the Sports Illustrated article, which was a pretty like long, well investigated piece, talks about his upbringing, sort of the adversity that he faced as a kid in terms of losing his father very suddenly, but also the strength of his family and his mother, who seems to be a really strong support for him, and that he had always been a very promising athlete, but sort of had these two things that he felt held him back, and it talks about his jump shot for like 10 paragraphs, but I'm not going to go into that. But
I was interested in that.
Yeah, it actually was interesting. Yeah. And there was one part of it that I thought was really the jump shot. And this will become, if we know that he stutters, it becomes even more interesting. Where he was watching the videos of himself trying a different shot.
Never thought of that.
And he said that he was watching videos, and I'll pull up the quote, and he said he got like kind of uncomfortable and wasn't really liking it. And he said that he wondered what the F am I doing? That isn't me. I don't shoot like that. And that was kind of interesting because I felt like that when I, tried to change the way that I speak and then I hear it. I'm like, that's not me.
Yeah, I totally didn't catch that in the article, but you're right. That's totally something you could be saying if you're, watching yourself speak and stuttering and being uncomfortable with it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry, I interrupted you though.
So it was kind of interesting, like when they compared his struggle to change his jump shot with his struggle to change his speech. And then it said that he met a therapist in Kentucky, who's a quote unquote acclaimed SLP, and that he told her that he wants her to help this go away.
Yep.
Yeah.
Just like everybody who stutters. Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. And he was probably 21 now, which is pretty young.
Yeah.
So he was probably like 18 at the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like every 18-year-old who stutters that's like struggling so much with it that wants therapy, the first thing they say to their therapist is like, make this go away.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, and therapists would love to make it go away.
Right. And it seems like she's really trying to make it go away.
Yeah. And unfortunately, and I guess this is like the subtext, is like trying to make it go away can make it really bad.
Mm.
Okay, I got to rephrase this. What am I trying to say here? if you have like this intense desire and almost hatred to make your stuttering go away, in my experience, you know, for me personally, and I think probably for you, Roisin, it is very counterproductive for communication and your own, I guess, health.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, we obviously don't have him on the show, but
yeah,
I would love to hear from him, you know, about like how he's feeling. Cause he has a couple of quotes, but he actually, he doesn't seem to share too much about where he's at right now.
Yeah.
It's more his the therapist talking about him.
You're right. You're right. Yeah.
Which is interesting.
And I remember reading earlier articles about him and his stuttering because when he was at Kentucky, I mean, he's just, I can't underscore this enough. Like he is a ridiculous basketball player. Like he's super good. And when he was only in college for 1 year because he went to the NBA, you know, after 1 year, and he played on Kentucky and they won the national championship. And I remember there was a lot of like when they were, you know, kind of progressing in the NCAA tournament, there were several articles about him and his stuttering in particular. And as I recall, the quotes were, you know, sort of along the lines of, you know, I don't really care. I don't let it define me. Stuff like that. But, you know, as you know, that's something a lot of us say about our stuttering when it actually might be affecting us more than maybe we would like to admit to people.
This is David Seidler. I'm a stutterer. And this is Stutter Talk. This is David Mitchell. I'm the author of the book Leprosy Queen and a patron of the British Stuttering Association. And you are listening to Stutter Talk.
And then the article has a couple of quotes. Some facts about stuttering. And it acknowledges that genetics play a role, and then quote unquote, so do life events, which I'm not sure that there's any evidence to support that, but possible.
Yeah, it's just one of those things you can't really say either way, but it's always just kind of like a red flag because it's you know, like the traumatic life event has been this. You know, sort of inaccurate explanation for stuttering for a long time. So even though, you know, it's not like you can say definitively, you know, whether or not, you know, how much of a role your environment plays in manifesting stuttering, it's like anytime you try to like narrow it down to like a single life event, my antennas kind of go up a little bit, you know. It's like, wait a second, what are you saying? You know,
same.
But yeah, there's nothing like crazy in the article as far as that is concerned.
Well, there's like you actually mentioned this earlier, but there's this quote from his therapist saying that a lot of people who stutter have certain personality characteristics, and she says they're often perfectionist, they're pleasers, that they might be worriers, and they tend to carry a lot on their shoulders.
It's so stupid.
I mean, yeah, I'm not sure if she's saying, I mean, she might be saying that because of the experience of stuttering that people might feel these things, which could be valid. But she's not clear that but it sounds like she's saying before they started stuttering, they were already these kind of people.
It's like, you could say that about so much stuff. Like, you know, if someone's self-conscious
like
about anything, you know, like the color of their hair, like you could say, oh, you know, this person's a certain way because they reacted to something about them, you know? But yeah, I mean, you can go to like any large gathering of people who stutter, like, you know, the National Stuttering Association annual conference, where there's hundreds upon hundreds of people who stutter. It doesn't take long to see that like there's such a wide variety of people who experience this, you know. Right. You can't say that everybody who stutters are a certain kind of way. And
except that we're all smart.
And very attractive.
I'm like, it's
physically.
Been shown that our IQ is higher.
Yeah, you're right. Okay. All right. Touche.
And then just what one last thing about the article. He actually has a pretty long quote in the end of the article. And I think that it kind of shows he basically says that his jump shot and his stuttering remind him of each other, because he's had to go. He's been made fun of for both of them, and had to go through this like pretty personal process of growth and struggle over both of them. And then it sort of talks about how just as his shot isn't perfect and his arm drifts upward, he often has to pause between phrases and sort of like fiddles with his phone. And then he says, everybody has flaws. And I'm a prime example, but this is me. Which I feel like is, you know, he's in therapy and he's trying to work on his stuttering. It seems like he's come to a point of being aware that it's a part of who he is.
Yeah. I mean, obviously I don't know him at all, but I've just, from everything I've read about him, and he just seems like this just incredible person. And I'm a huge fan of his, mm-hmm. you know? And yeah, I think that's a really wonderful quote there at the end.
So tell us about the other article.
So this is what caught my eye originally. I had a friend post this on Facebook, and the headline says, "Speech language pathologist helps former wildcat become fluent for life." And I knew right away that they're talking about Michael Kidd Gilchrist. So I was like, I wasn't aware that he had become fluent for life. That's interesting. I'm gonna
who wrote that?
Like, just clickbait or something. Like, but it's the University of Kentucky, right?
Oh my god!
So I click on it, and it's got some excerpts from the article. So I'm like, oh my god, is this, you know, Sports Illustrated article just going to be like awful? But you click on the Sports Illustrated article and, you know, it's like all the stuff we talked about. So it's like, how did they garner this headline that he becomes fluent for life, when there's just like the title of the Sports Illustrated article is, this was so hilarious. Michael Kidd Gilchrist jump shot, comma, voice remain a work in progress.
Right.
The title of the Sports Illustrated right. article says how he's like, you know, like he's working
he's
on
fluent.
This stuff.
Right.
But you know what? No, like, speech language pathologist helps former wildcat become fluent for life. It's just, I mean, all they had to do was read the headline. They didn't even have to read the article itself to,
right.
to like, I don't know. I read the article and, you know, that's what we're talking about, but
I feel like my problem with the article, the second article,
yeah, the Sports Illustrated article, or the Kentucky article,
the Kentucky article,
okay,
is that essentially it's an advertisement for this SLP,
mm-hmm.
And it doesn't really give Michael Kidd Gilchrist's like respect for what he's like. It says he worked on his stutter with SLPs as a child, but he never learned how to control it. And then it kind of just talks about this woman. It's just like an advertisement for her, I feel like. And it's inaccurate. But a lot of people will read that and I wonder if he reread this, how he would feel about that headline. Because he's saying in the article that he isn't fluent. So I wonder if he'd be like, what? Like, whoa? And I feel like there's this common thread through like different, you know, publications, different articles, films, even the King's Speech, like this idea that success in therapy is fluency.
Yeah.
And that if something else comes of therapy besides fluency, it's like you basically, you failed at the first thing. So you're going to take this.
Well, you know, we all start in that place because that's a, you know, you live with this thing and you want it to go away. So, you know, you go to a therapist who's going to make it go away. But, you know, hopefully you can work with someone who's had enough experience with stuttering to know that often, certainly for me and for you, trying to make it go away isn't always a great thing. In fact, mm-hmm. sometimes it's bad. And there was another part of the article that kind of gives us a little bit of a glimpse. I'm talking about the Sports Illustrated article mm-hmm. of the type of therapy that Kid Gilchrist has had. And it's, you know, it sounds like you know, sort of like developing awareness of the shape of your mouth and, you know, certain sounds and things like that. Like, whatever, that's cool. But, you know, then they talk about, you know, honing a technique called continuous phonation, which is, you know, pretty much that that's type of therapy that's, you know, more like fluency shaping, where there's, you know, there's more emphasis placed on fluency and you know, fluency and the absence of stuttering, but being the metric of success.
Yeah.
And man, for a guy like this, I just think, I mean, the metric of success would be like, him doing an interview and not feeling crappy about it afterwards, you know?
Right. Yeah.
Like stuff like that. Like the fact, you know, but, and just really in instilling that, you know, the really truly important thing is communicating and enjoying it. And that stuttering is okay, you know, and that he's going to be able to do post game interviews and enjoy it and not have to be like 100% fluent, and that's fine, and it's really fine. But
right,
I don't know. So anytime, you know, I see like continuous phonation or whatever, like that's fine. Like I get that works for some people. And, you know, that's awesome. But it just, I mean, there's this other really interesting little paragraph in the article that really shows all of the classic avoidances, you know. I'll just quote it here. It says, Kid Gilchrist visited visited 3 speech therapists over 11 years as a child. When classmates made fun of him, he pretended not to care. When family members asked about his progress, he waved them off. He never controlled the stutter, but he learned how to mask it. He removed himself from situations where he had to speak publicly, okay, like avoiding, or replace words he wasn't comfortable saying, switching words, more avoiding, or simply turned away and fell silent. Like, so this speaks to me because, like, that's me, you know?
Right.
Like, it's that's amazing. Describing that's exactly my experience.
Yeah.
So, like, I can't help but think that like, you know, trying to be fluent, like, placing this super importance on fluency and lack of stuttering is just, like, I would love to see some, like, non-avoidance type of work or voluntary stuttering, you know, have the metric of success be that, you know, the next time Michael Kidd-Gilchrist has to give an interview, he has to stutter. Like, that's the only thing that's important, you know, like,
yeah,
I don't know. So
just, I guess that we have to, like, also share, I mean, if he listened to the show, we all, or if anyone who doesn't really know us and our experiences, Joel and I have done like a similar type of therapy for stuttering. We did a therapy that was not totally focused. We definitely had like a lot of training on like speaking more fluently, but a lot of focus on avoidance reduction and, you know, openly stuttering in like a more effective, easier way, where the goal was not to eliminate the stuttering, but the goal was to basically have joyful and effective communication.
That's really good recap. Yeah, because people probably think I'm crazy at this point.
I think that like, I mean, when we're not saying that this kind of like fluency gold therapy is bull, we're just saying that there are other options for treatment. You know, it's not like ignore your stuttering or try and be fluent. There are like options in between those things that can be really, really, really helpful to people who stutter.
Yeah. And it's always kind of hard not to, you know, now it's like I want to expand on like, you know, what that means as far as like stuttering easier, voluntary stuttering, non-avoidance, all that stuff. But we don't need to, because we do that a lot. But
yeah, we do that a lot.
But yeah, and I mean, I know I've said this at least one other time, but this is totally just my opinion. And I, you know, I feel like, you know, as an athlete that, you know, when I was growing up, I can't even like begin to compare myself to, I'm going to cut this out. I don't know what to say. I'm just saying that, I'm saying that. Cause I'm an NBA caliber basketball player. I'm not very good at basketball actually. And Michael Kidd-Gilchrist is one of the best players in the world. You know, he's in the NBA. Right. So that's what I'm trying to say is, though, there's just like certain things you see that they hit so close to home that you can't help but like want to comment on it and like want to talk about how your own experience relates, you know?
Yeah. And I kind of just hope, I mean, obviously he's come out with this, you know, he's come out with this to like multiple media outlets. When he could just hide, you know,
exactly.
He doesn't have to
and
come
that's
out with
huge.
This.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm sure he knows that's huge. You know, I'm sure people tell him.
So obviously on a very big level, he's exposing this part of himself to the world, making himself really, 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 really vulnerable. And he's also a pretty young guy.
Exactly.
He's 21. He's a lot of years ahead of him. And I just hope that in whatever therapy he does and whatever like path he goes down, that he ends up in a place where like he enjoys speaking and it doesn't feel like he has to do better. He has to do better at this. He has to do better at this. And I know that he was comparing it to basketball, but I just, he seems like such a like a strong, cool guy that I just hope that he can feel comfortable like sharing that with the world eventually.
Yeah.
In like a really comfortable way.
Yeah. And that's such an important point to sort of highlight is that, yeah, I mean, he is open about it. Whereas like the vast majority of athletes who stutter hide it, you know, and here's a guy that's not, and that's really saying something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the fact that he's having his therapist come in and be a part of this, like he's really opening the door here. Mm-hmm. To us.
So we're big fans of him at that Stutter Talk here.
It's kind of amazing. Whenever I like read and like learn about professional athletes, especially in the NBA and the NFL, that they're so young. LeBron was like 18 or 19 when he went to the NBA.
Oh yeah, it's crazy.
And when I was younger, that seemed kind of old to me. And now I'm like, oh my God, like these are just like young men in the beginning of their careers and there's so much spotlight on them.
I know.
And they're so young. Yeah. They're still like, you know, growing a lot.
Yeah. When I think about like, you know, 21, 22 years old, the mess that I was as far as like avoidance, like
writing an article about us.
Yeah. Like pretending I, you know, trying to find synonyms for like where I'm from. If someone asked me where I'm from, because I think I'm going to stutter on that mm-hmm. word, you know, and imagine being in the public eye. Like if you were like a really talented professional athlete,
yeah.
You know, it's sort of like, yeah, it's like, you know, we can sit here in the armchair and sort of talk about like what we think would be awesome, but we have no, you know, it's hard to understand what someone like him is going through. You know, we can try to have empathy for it, but you know, we're not experiencing it in the slightest.
Yeah, but in terms of the stuttering experience, we probably kind of know more than even people that are, you know, that are his friends in terms of how it must be to have to use. And
well, yeah, it's even like that comment in the article, his shooting coach Mark Price, who I remember watching growing up, just an incredible shooter, is like, you know, thinking the stuttering and the shooting is like related as far as like the mechanics are concerned, you know. It's like there's been a lot of, you know, there's been a lot of people who stutter who play basketball that have, you know, don't have this jump shot experience that Kid Gilchrist, you know what I mean? It's just like so crazy, right. But whatever. So
yeah,
I think
right.
They're related. The jump shot and the speaking, they use such similar muscles.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Anyway.
I kind of feel like we could probably do, this is a really interesting topic about, you know, And I don't want to call out like people's articles in the way they're written, but I do think it's helpful. Like if we, you know, like tracked the articles, like BuzzFeed articles and Huffington Post articles and these kind of articles, and just really held them accountable for how they portray stuttering in terms of like truth versus myth, that'd be really interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I try to stay on top of the sports. Well, I just kind of naturally stay on top of the sports ones, I think. But
yeah.
All right. Well, I think that was pretty good.
Yeah.
All right. We tried our best.
We gave it a good shot. Yeah, without Karen here.
Mm-hmm. Karen would have said some neat things, but we'll have to carry on until next time, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, thanks a lot for making the time, Roisin.
Yeah, same here. And to our listeners, if you have any, you know, comments on the article, we'll post the article with the show, or any, you know, feedback or ideas, feel free to email us at bteam@stuttertalk.com. Right, Joel, is that the email address?
Yeah, or just probably probably a little easier, and we'll get more people's inputs if you just want to maybe start a comment on the Facebook page is probably the best way to get conversation going. Unless you just want to talk to us privately, then email us.
True. Awesome. Cool. Sounds good.
All right.
Okay. We'll bye, Joel.
Talk to you later, Roisin.
Okay, bye.